All right, and welcome, everyone. We're live on this Sunday afternoon Revolution Radio's Cancel the Cabal. I'm Stephen Roberts. I thought there was a couple of commercials missing there, but I'm not sure what was going on, but I'm live now anyways. Normally, it's about 4 minutes after when I'm able to go live. But anyways, I have a very, very special guest with me today. His name is Dane Wigginton. Dane has a background in solar engineering. He's a former employee at Bechtel Power Corporation and was a licensed contractor in California and Arizona. He has been engaged in constant climate and geoengineering research for over a decade. His personal residence was featured in a cover article on the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power. He owns a 1,600-acre wildlife reserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California. Dane put all his focus, efforts, and energy on geoengineering issue when he began to lose very significant amounts of solar uptake due to over-increasing solar obscuration caused from jet aircraft spraying in the skies above his forest home. He also noticed a significant decline in forest health was occurring and appearing to be accelerated. Extensive testing research into the geoengineering was commenced and has continued since 2002. I'm going to go ahead and welcome my guest and bring him up to the show. Welcome, Dane. Welcome to Revolution Radio's Cancel the Cabal.
Hello, Steve. Thanks for your willingness to address this issue that amazingly many people are not yet aware of.
Yes, amazingly they're not.
People don't look up much anymore, and I hope that changes rapidly because what's going on in our skies is determining our collective futures by the day, and the gravity of this issue cannot be overstated. When people decide to take it upon themselves to hamper Earth's life support systems, i.e. the climate and the atmosphere, that's folly of the first order. And, literally, our collective futures hang in the balance of these programs. Although there's a great many challenges we face, I don't deny that, and a great many issues that need to be dealt with, the gravity of this issue is immense beyond any other, with the exception of nuclear catastrophe, which perhaps we face now as well. But other than that, if we can't walk out our doors and breathe without inhaling the fallout from these global climate modification programs, toxifying everything, tearing the atmosphere apart, that's a fight of the first order.
Oh, it absolutely is. Can you give us a little bit of a history, what your research has come across, the history on geoengineering or chemtrails?
Yeah, you know, this is not a fight I wanted. I've never been an activist in my life. You know, I've cared about a lot of issues and tried to help in many ways, but I've never engaged in any battle like this, and I didn't want this fight either. But once one realizes the magnitude of what's going on and the very direct threat it poses to our lives, our children's lives, the life of the planet, engage in it. So when I came to the Pacific Northwest, I grew up in Southern California, where it was extremely smoggy, and I wondered then as a kid why the adults weren't more alarmed about it, but I wanted to get out of it from the time I was very young. And when I got to the Pacific Northwest, in the middle of the wilderness, in an off-grid home, and started to see this grid pattern laying above my home on certain days, you know, planes flying east-west, which we have no commercial east-west traffic, full-blown grid patterns, it would blot out the sky. It was blocking, on some days, 60, 70, even 80% of my solar panel power uptake, and this is an astounding amount of power to block from whatever these aircraft were emitting, so clearly something was going on, and that's what started me on research into this in about 2002. And locating and identifying some of the primary elements, one being aluminum, and starting to test for this in rain samples with an initial rain test. I didn't want to find the metal there, Steve, because I had hoped that something was not what it appeared to be, that this wasn't really going on and this stuff wasn't falling on us. But from an initial rain test of 7 parts per billion, I spoke to a hydrogeologist who confirmed that I shouldn't have any aluminum in my rain, giving the filtered forested location I live in. There's no blowing dust, there's no roads, railroads, airports. I'm in the middle of nowhere. So from that initial high baseline reading, subsequent tests over the next 5 years escalated as much as almost 50,000% to 3,453 parts per billion of aluminum in a single rain event. So this is highly toxic rain. And when you begin to examine the mountain of data that's out there, Steve, there's absolutely no rational denial of these programs. We have a lot of denial, I admit that, and even the quote-unquote experts who adamantly deny this is going on. And I can shed some light on why, you know, some of them are denying it, but there's no rational denial of these programs. I mean, we have film footage of it happening at altitude. We have actual up-close film footage of military tankers, KC-10s, KC-135s, turning spray on and off, nozzles visible. We have the primary elements outlined in geoengineering patents raining down on the ground. We have the exact effect that's specified by climate engineering patents, which is solar obscuration, as you mentioned earlier, the blotting out of the sun for what's termed solar radiation management. We have top military officials, top U.S. military brass, stating on the record climate change is the greatest U.S. national security threat. People have to be in an alternate reality not to believe this is going on, truly. There's no question. There's no plausible denial.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The only denial is currently from the media and the government.
That's correct. And we know the media strings are pulled by the government. I mean, how far back do we have to go to see the proof of that? Everything from towing the line on the Iraq weapons of mass destruction to a thousand other issues, the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. We never had any media disclosure of the depleted uranium used in our ammunition. You know, this should be another example. Let's go back even further. Agent Orange, certainly our government knew how harmful that was to our own troops, in addition to the population, civilian populations. They didn't care. They don't care about things like that. I mean, we have too much proof to even begin to deny that. So, and as we move forward to depleted uranium, for those listeners that don't know what that is, it's the nuclear waste from nuclear plants, the radioactive waste. It's the heaviest metal on planet Earth, uranium-238. It's used for ammunition for the NATO powers. It tips the ammunition, so it slices right through armor, tanks, and so forth. But it scatters then, atomizes. It's an incendiary, and it leaves areas of the planet contaminated forever. It's the cause of Gulf War syndrome. Media doesn't cover any of this, you know, and we live in a society that, unfortunately, at least to date, doesn't really want to know if they don't perceive something as affecting them directly. So, it's a very perplexing situation where the whole ship is sinking, and it is sinking, and we have so many people that are sitting in their lawn chairs watching it sink, and, this needs to change or we have no chance. And with the climate engineering again, the planet's been decimated from a lot of different directions, anthropogenic causes. A lot of people want to deny that. Even people within the climate engineering movement, Steve, are choosing to pretend that there is no other source of damage to the planet. There is. There's too many sources to even list. But mathematically speaking, climate engineering, greatest single all-out assault against life on Earth, bar none. That's why I'm focused on this issue. And if we don't bring this to light, the decimation being caused by these programs is so horrific and so total that I believe our horizon is very limited and very dark if we don't deal with this.
Well, Dane, there's another listener in my Revolution Radio network here. He's been on, actually had him on as a call-in. I've never had him on as a guest yet. He's always been a call-in on other subjects, as far as military and this, that, and the other. HARP is one of them. I'm hoping he's out there today. He might come in. He might absolutely be able to shed a little light on the HARP and the geoengineering, connections, because he's actually was part of a team that set up a lot of HARP facilities all around the world.
Well, certainly I'd like to have him join the show. I mean, I would be very curious of his input as well. And we know, I mean, I'm sure he has more data than I am aware of, but certainly until we hear from him, I can elaborate on that a little bit. I mean, we know that they're ionizing the atmosphere with the particulate spraying. It's these are conductive metal particulates, so a more conductive atmosphere is enhancing for these ionosphere heaters that are scattered around the globe. And what those are involved with, we can say with reasonable certainty. I mean, we have even organizations like MIT reporting that there was very anomalous heating in the atmosphere for a very extended time prior to the Fukushima quake. And this is into a whole other realm of weapon. And I don't know how much have you guys discussed the potential for the ionosphere heaters to actually create seismic activity?
Yes, they have. And there's another one out there today. He's up in British Columbia. He's listening too. He can probably also shed a lot of light on that subject also. He's a great researcher. I think he's a professor. But anyways.
Yeah, we need these people to join in. I mean, we need to hear from them. We need them to start posting articles. So, you know, but when we have, with the science community, though, like MIT, in fact, because they wrote a particularly strong piece on the fact that the atmosphere above the epicenter for the Japanese quake was anomalously heated prior to, and they, of course, you have the science community putting the cart in front of the horse in this case. They're trying to somehow figure out a reason that the pressure on this quake epicenter was the cause of the heating in the atmosphere, not the other way around. Not the heating of the atmosphere being related to the movement that occurred in the epicenter of the quake. And that's where I would argue you have the scientific community in so many ways trying to explain things away, Steve. And so with these ionosphere heaters that appear to be used for steering the jet stream, potentially causing seismic activity, also, as they saturate the atmosphere with particulates, again, for those of your listeners that don't know what climate engineering, I mean, the globe is covered in a cocoon of toxic metal particulates at this point. There's no question about that. And the effect of that, you know, solar obscuration, global dimming, is horrific on the planet from too many directions to even count. But if the ionosphere heaters, if a certain polarization of particulate is sprayed, then if it's hit with an RF frequency, that would have the effect of either scattering those particulates or bringing those particulates together if a different combination is used. So as they scatter their particulates, it tends to cover the sky, disperse what they've sprayed. It can disperse rainfall, migrate the rain somewhere else. If they choose to bring those particulates together and make a larger condensation nuclei, then that can cause the rain to fall in a given area. So the degree of manipulation occurring between the spraying, the RF frequencies that are in stations around the globe, it's truly horrific and immense, and the effect on all of us, we can't quantify it, we can't even really understand it because there's not enough study on it. You know, we're all electrically conductive now, we're all absorbing these materials, so at that point, how much more susceptible are we to the RF frequencies that we're being hit with? You know, we don't know, but certainly it can't be good.
No, absolutely. I was in the ham radio world for about 10 or 11 years, Dane, back in the 90s and that, up until the year 2002. I had ham radio equipment, and I need to go back out and get some more, because one of these days we're going to have to start communicating that way again. But I understand the RF can, once the ionosphere is ionized, mainly, I mean, well, they're doing it artificially with the HARP technology, but I use the ionization of the ionosphere from the solar flares to be able to talk all the way around the world, from Michigan here to Australia or Japan or something like that. So I do have a little bit of understanding, and with the RF, the radio frequency, or the microwave frequencies, I can just imagine what they can do to the atmosphere artificially.
Yeah, and even what we can imagine is probably not nearly as much as what's actually happening. You know, we know we have massive ozone depletion going on, certainly from the particulate spraying and also likely connected to the ionosphere heaters. The ozone depletion alone, if it becomes significant enough, is a life-threatening factor on planet Earth. No ozone layer, no life, no terrestrial life, period. And right now we know this ozone depletion has been going on for decades. We've been told about it in the southern hemisphere. They're trying to hide the fact there's a massive northern hemisphere ozone hole. And Canadian scientists are being muzzled. They're part of the main ozone research teams in the northern hemisphere. They're being muzzled. Can't talk to the media about it. And the more they spray, the worse that's going to get. So, again, from every direction, we see plankton die off. We relate to ozone depletion. We know the intense UVB rays are killing plankton. It's burning the bark off of trees. It's stopping plants from fruiting properly. We have massive insect die-off. You know, again, there's so many related factors. We have the fallout from these programs in conjunction with the UV. But if you couple all these things together, I mean, again, mathematically speaking, the climate engineering is the greatest all-out assault on the planet, period.
Absolutely.
No question about that.
From your research, what are some of the effects that is having on the Earth itself when these particles release and come down to the ground?
Well, we know it's toxifying soils. We see soil pH is changing 10 to 12 times toward alkaline in the Pacific Northwest. Now, if you have naturally alkaline soils, as many parts of the country have, this is not as profound an effect, although the bioavailable aluminum is still highly toxic. But in areas that have naturally acidic soils, like the Pacific Northwest, where we have a normal soil pH of 5.0, 5.4 in that range, we've seen an escalation of 10 to 12 times toward alkaline. Extremely detrimental. It takes a lot of metal to change soil pHs that much. Our streams are flowing with aluminum. We've seen aquatic insect life decline in Shasta, Siskiyou counties in Northern California. Some 90% decline in 10 years. That's a virtual crash. And this is the figures as measured by Forest Service biologists. So what we face is, again, incredibly dire. As the natural world dies off, we won't be far behind. And the trees are dying off. New trees aren't sprouting. We have agencies like USDA, Forest Service, and so forth in this area that are completely ignoring what is a blatant and horrific die-off in the forest, trying to convince the population that everything's fine. And people in these agencies need to show some honor and start to disclose the truth, because otherwise they're accessories to the crime. That's the only way we can look at it.
Yes, it is. Yes, well, actually, I guess we can get into it now. The first time I ever come across you, Dane, was in the documentary "What in the World Are They Spraying?" I think that was kind of produced by G. Edward Griffin, wasn't it?
That was a part of it. Michael Murphy was really the bigger part of that. I helped behind the scenes. Yeah.
Okay.
That film certainly did a lot to wake people up. I'm grateful to Michael for that. I'm not sure. He's got a second film, the Why in the World helped as well. I don't know if the third film's going to get done. Michael's dealing with some issues right now. But we'll hope it does. But the bottom line is, I mean, there's certainly so much data out there right now that there is, again, no plausible denial of these programs. So I would ask those who consider whatever they spend their time on and whatever they whatever their personal pursuits are, how long is that going to matter if the planet's very fragile atmosphere and life support systems are torn apart? You know, for anybody listening out there, how long will whatever it is you focus on in your life, each of us, if we don't have a functional life support system on the planet? Again, none of those things will matter soon. That's why I focused on this issue, Steve, because in spite of all the challenges we face, again, if the house is burning to the ground, one has to focus on that and not trimming the hedge out in the yard. So this is just a simple, straightforward priority issue, and it's our site, geoengineeringwatch.org. We try to put out the most pressing, pertinent data so people bring this into context, because so much in our society now, if anybody tries to sound the alarm on anything, they're labeled as conspiracy theorist, alarmist. And people are too programmed to simply ignore valid data when it's presented to them. They're programmed to just simply keep their heads rammed in the sand and pretend everything's fine.
Well,
we have Scott. Go ahead.
I wonder if it's a lot of it is programming. Americans have been conditioned to believe their lords and masters up on Capitol Hill and the magician and his assistant up on the TV screen. And I think it's, well, they've had about 100-year stranglehold on the American people, and it's not going to be easy to break that stranglehold, you know?
Well, you know, it's that sort of distraction. I mean, there's studies to prove that. In fact, I just saw a show that was highlighting that exact point, that they actually did have jugglers. They had all sorts of other major visual distractions on a college campus, right within the sight line of people walking and texting, students walking and texting, and nothing got their attention.
Sure.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And then that's the sort of sensory distraction we have now, and it's certainly by design. And the difference with this particular scenario that we now face is that there is no hiding from what's coming. I mean, we're talking about market shelves without food, harvest crashing. I mean, it's not there yet. Yes, people can walk into, you know, Costco or Walmart or wherever they want to go and buy their supplies, and so they're oblivious to what's going on. But it's coming. And we have somewhere around 36 countries right now around the globe descending into chaos because there's not enough resource to go around. There's not enough food. Egypt, a lot of the Egyptian population is eating government-supplied bread loaves, literally. And we have wheat harvest crashing right now, so where's that going to go? climate engineering being used as a weapon around the globe, and this is historical fact. It's historical fact. We know these programs have been going on for at least, on a larger scale, at least 6 decades. We know this. We have the documentation to prove it. We have patents going back that far. We have, in one case, a presidential document that I found in the NASA archives, 80 pages long, outlines the full scope and scale of the weather mod programs as of the mid-60s. Budgets in the hundreds of millions of dollars, 10 federal agencies involved, a dozen major universities, and this, the decimation that's been caused, again, as they've used climate warfare as a weapon to drought out African countries. How many years have African countries been droughted out? And again, people want to lay this all on the, plate of climate change. Well, is the climate changing? Absolutely.
Sure.
Is carbon a problem? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Cannot put 100 million tons of carbon in the air every day and not have a problem. It's the figure's about 35 billion tons a year now.
Exactly.
Astounding amount of carbon. So it's a problem. But what does the planet do when it begins to heat and the atmosphere becomes laden with carbon? The hydrological cycle increases. The laws of physics say it must. So why is it raining less in so many places? The only thing that can stop that is global dimming from atmospheric aerosolization, which diminishes rainfall, diminishes evaporation, dries things out. Exactly what's happening. Volcanoes have the same effect. Mount Pinatubo in 1992, up to that point, 92 was the lowest rainfall year recorded on the planet. It was about 50% less than the next lowest year from the particulates from that eruption alone. So now, so we know with climate engineering, we know the effect of aerosolizing the atmosphere, the overall effect is to dry things out. It tends to diminish and disperse rainfall. So it is quite apparent that the African countries have been droughted out. We see other long list of Middle Eastern countries droughted out prior to these civil unrest occurrences and toppling of governments from Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, all of them droughted out prior to the major disruptions of toppling of governments that unfortunately the Western powers are typically behind. And we have leaders of countries, in the case of Iran, vice president, president on the floor of the UN, stating emphatically their countries were being droughted out by NATO weather modification programs. But our media doesn't cover it. So again, there's weather warfare being raised around the globe. The cyclone that just cut through the Philippines, Cyclone Haiyan, we see the same scenario over and over. U.S. moves in under humanitarian pretext. That cyclone looked like it was strengthened before it hit. It was extremely anomalous for it to strengthen to almost 200-mile-an-hour sustained winds. It just slaughtered the Philippines. So the U.S. moves in under humanitarian pretexts, and they start setting up bases. It's exactly what they've done.
Absolutely, yeah. Two things I forgot to mention, Dane. I picked up the PSN radio stream also, so you're on another network, as well as the Revolution Radio Network. So welcome everybody over there. And just Wednesday night, I had Elena Freeland on, a woman you know, or she knows of you anyways. She's a very interesting woman. Also, she's an author. I think her latest book is, forgive me, that's terrible. It seems like it was total dominance.
That's, yeah, the one that was just released?
Yes.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I can't quite pull up the title either.
Full spectrum dominance, that's what it is, yes.
And well, this is a stated goal of the U.S. military. Again, people ask over and over, why would they want to do this? Why wouldn't they want to do this? Absolutely, why wouldn't they want to do this? That using weather as a weapon, is there some moral reason? Do we really think the military has any moral compass at all?
Sure. Didn't Jimmy Carter or some other president go over somewhere and sign a treaty not to use weather as a weapon?
Yes, in 1976, after Project Popeye in Vietnam was so successful over the Ho Chi Minh Trail, the UN passed a resolution, which was signed by the U.S. in, I believe, 76, forbidding weather manipulation in wartime, but it did not forbid a country experimenting on their own populations. And even in regard to other countries, nobody pays attention to international law. We certainly know that. What's our government do? Invades country after country after country. Doesn't worry about getting a UN resolution to do it.
Exactly.
Just does it.
Right.
International law is just a joke. And for our country and the Western powers, they talk about international law only if it suits them. Otherwise, it means nothing.
So certainly.
While we heard about Saddam Hussein supposedly violating, you know, 16 or 17 UN resolutions, we didn't hear about the fact that Israel, for example, has violated 138 UN resolutions since 1978. Not a word about that. So, you know, it's just power run amok, completely run amok. And anybody in our society that doesn't believe the U.S. government would be at these programs is simply in an alternate reality.
Got their head in the sand, really.
Buried very deep in the sand. And I don't think they're going to be able to leave it there for long, though. Here's the bottom line factor, is that in addition to the ozone depletion I mentioned, in addition to the massive, horrific droughting out of countries around the globe, even states, even weather warfare that appears to be being carried out right now against the American population, can't call it anything else. I mean, the kind of disruption that we see occurring is can only be attributed to that. And it's not to say the weather would not be bad otherwise, because the climate is definitely being damaged. But once the system is hampered with, the entire system is different than it would have otherwise been. It can't respond in a proper manner. And so things are just magnified. They're made much worse. So when we have boreal forests, for example, that are now emitting carbon instead of absorbing it, it starts to feed the cycle. And now the biggest linchpin of all in our collective realities is mass methane release from the Arctic. So if we go back to Bermuda Triangle, most people understand the ship sinkings or have heard of that, the aircraft downings there. This is methane hydrate being released from the seafloor. Methane, frozen methane deposits typically release a whole field at once. So it aerates the water like a bottle of champagne, and ships go down. They have no buoyancy. When this material hits the air, when it hits the surface, it can kill the old piston-driven fighter planes. I'm sure you've heard of some of these go down, Steve.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely.
Some of the programs, five at once, why would they all go down? That's why, when the methane hits the surface. So you have fields of methane that have been releasing for a long time. Why? Because the oceans are warming. And I know a lot of people, because they don't like Gore, have convinced themselves the planet has to be cooling. And I've talked to some very intelligent people about this who were convinced it's cooling. And when it came right down to it, the reason that they were convinced of that is because whatever Al Gore says, whatever the Council on Foreign Relations says, they will take the opposite position, no matter what. And that's not rational thought either. If the Council on Foreign Relations or Al Gore said the world is round, should we take the position it's flat because they are hypocrites or they are
certainly
tyrannical? We can't. That's throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah. Oceans
are warming rapidly, methane's releasing everywhere, and now we have massive methane expulsion occurring in the Arctic right now. I don't know how much you've...
Oh, Christ.
Hey.
Hi, I got you. It put the studio on hold. I got to get the studio back. I don't know what happened.
Okay, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Hi, Dane. Are you there?
I got you back now.
Yep. Are you there, Kyler?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't know what in the world happened there. It's still
We just got off Revolution Radio, and I was talking to Australia. I had a lot of great input from the show today, and I just wanted to say hi. I didn't know you were on air. I'm sorry. Even though I said Stephen Roberts is coming on right after me, I forgot. It's my Alzheimer's.
Yeah, you did. Well, this is Dane Wigginton. Dane, this is Kyler Davenport. He's another show host.
Hi, Dane. How are you doing?
Good, partner. I'm sorry, your first name was?
Kyler.
Kyler. Hi, Kyler. Good to have you.
It's good to be here. Really good to be here. Stephen Roberts is my, I guess, my primo Donna, if I can use Donna, producer. He's one of the greatest producers in the world. So I just wanted to pop in on you guys and say hi and see what was going on.
I appreciate that, you know, and no matter how much research some of us do, no matter how much I've done, I mean, without having a voice, without people like you guys helping to get the word out, you know, we'd be barking at the moon. And very grateful for the courage you guys show in helping get the word out.
If it wasn't for people like Stephen and Heather, my producer, I'd be out on the street corner with a sign saying, please help. They keep me on the air, you know?
No, we're talking about geoengineering, though, Kyler.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Still, you know, it's all of us pulling together, all of us sounding alarm, and I think we're closer to critical mass than we realize. There's a lot bigger undercurrent of awareness going on, and I mean, 2 minutes prior to Steve calling me for the show, the CEO of one of the largest environmental consulting firms on the planet, I mean, they have representatives in the UN, Congress, they have lobbyists, and he's 100% on board, 100% in our court, and trying now within the system to wake up colleagues And there's definitely cracks in the dike developing throughout the system on the facade that's hidden climate engineering. And we just need a big enough crack so the dike blows.
Certainly.
And if we can reach that place, it will be an unimaginable shockwave around the world of people. If we reach critical mass, when we reach critical mass, awareness of people who know this is going on, it's going to be a game-changing event.
Okay, I've got another call coming in. I want to try to take it.
Hey, good to meet you, Carl.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, caller. You're on with Kyler and me and Dane.
Oh, good. Is this live?
Yes, it is.
Well, do you know what? Are you talking about super soldiers?
No, we're talking about geoengineering.
Well, I haven't heard your program. I'm sort of calling out of the blue where I'm at. So what's going on exactly?
Okay, well...
I called you for my reason.
We're talking about geoengineering. I have Dane Wigginton.
You're talking about what?
Chemtrails, geoengineering.
Geoengineering and chemtrails. Okay, I've seen
here.
A few of those, actually. A medicine man was thinking the meth rash by exposure poisoning to innocent victims from crystal methamphetamine contaminated labs and premises and plumes in the ground, you know, where they dump the liquid waste, was causing the sores on his body, and another man who died and the sores on mine that I have right now going on, that is the meth rash by exposure poisoning syndrome. Not everybody gets the rash. A lot of people just drop dead and die from those vapors and fumes that are also chemicals and plumes from the liquid in the ground, fumes going up and gassing people. And
wow.
A lot of people are confusing chemtrails and chemicals coming down from the skies, hitting our bodies with what is really going on the ground, that they being all the people in positions of power of executive, legislative, and judicial branches on American soil, lied and covered over from the 1920s, especially through the 60s, with the first cattle mutilations, one horse and some sheep, you know, and maybe some others, but cattle mutilations, which are still going on, springing up and muddying the waters, covering it over and doing bizarre things to freak everybody out and keep them in a space of fear so nobody just stays logical and puts all the pieces of the puzzle together picture.
Can I say something, Stephen?
Go ahead.
Yes.
When this caller first came on, I thought she was nuttier than a fruitcake, but she's a genius.
Yes.
Listen to me, caller. I'm Kyler Davenport, the shock jock, the hard-to-get-along-with guy here who's done over 1,000 shows.
How do you spell your name, sir?
All right,
K-I-L-E-R Davenport.
I lost Dane. I lost my guest. I'm trying to get him back.
Okay. You are a genius, caller. I love you. I really love you.
Killer, because I am sitting here bleeding all over my bed in a county and jurisdiction.
But listen, you're bringing up something that all of us need to look at that we haven't been looking at, you know, with this false flag chemtrail deal, you know?
And it's even called chemical exposure poisoning syndrome in the people and animals it's going on in. I'm the one coining that phrase.
You are a genius, caller.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
Okay.
All right. I've got a...
So will somebody call me back about the super soldiers and everything else that I need to make comments about and get in touch with the right people?
Can you do me a favor?
I know
Stephen's going to tell you this. Can you hang up and let Stephen get back and then we'll call back?
Yes. I have to end this whole call and get my...
Yeah, let's do it. I'm hanging up now.
I've got to drop the studio and get... I'm not able to get him back somehow. I got to try to get him back.
Then?
I'll see everybody in a minute here. Not sure what's going on. I am not sure what's going on. All right, everyone.
Hello?
Hi, Dane.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. I was couldn't hear anything for quite a while.
Goodness. Okay.
As soon as you switch calls, everything went dead.
Oh, good grief. Okay. Yeah, the entire studio has been having that problem.
I've had problems. This is the ninth.
Well, this is a Skype thing. Really? It's been happening to you?
9 shows in a row.
Wow. Okay, so it's not just me. Thank God. Well, I've got the studio back. I've got you back, and I've got the studio back. It's been happening the last 2 weeks for me, almost every show myself. Oddly enough, Dane, when I'm off air, it doesn't happen. It only happens when I'm on air on a, you know, on like Revolution Radio Studio or, PSN or People's Internet. All three networks. It's been happening. And you said,
well,
this is the ninth show in a row.
Sort of thing as the power structure pushes back.
Wow.
As the curtain is pulled back, you know, I think we can expect this. And I, on a show in, to South America with, General Bert Stubblebine's wife, Rima LeBeau, and
sure.
they have a quite, you know, strong radio network, and was off air for 10 minutes with them recently. And,
yeah.
You know, people that haven't had this trouble, Vincent Finelli, a big radio show, USA Preppers, it's the 12th or 13th most listened to in the mornings, and a week ago, same thing, Agenda 21 Radio, same thing, 3 days ago, so we'll see how it happens. But, you know, let's hope that people within the system, those playing this kind of game, because that's what they're paid to do, that they realize they are sinking on the same ship as us. Whatever they're being told, whatever lies they're being fed, that people like us are simply incorrect about our data, we are not incorrect. In fact, if things are really, in many senses, even worse than the data that we're putting out, I hope that they realize, those listening, that we're trying to save the ship on which their lives and their children's lives depend as well.
Absolutely. Dane, I have another caller. 541 area code, are you here? Oh, I guess he dropped off. Okay.
Dropped off or maybe unplugged, but yeah, anytime, horny, and if we get somebody else on. What I was going over before we lost air was,
Yes?
Okay.
Hello?
We got a caller now, Steve.
I got
your audio caller.
Yeah. Okay. I'm actually going to be bringing the callers in. I'm not going to try to accept any calls, but because it's just messing everything up.
It is. Am I here?
Yes, you are. And I have Dane also, yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, that's okay.
Oh, no worries. The caller was on again before you rang in was, CEO of one of the largest environmental consulting firms on the planet, as I mentioned, he's working from within the system. So all the way around, we're seeing breaks develop in the dam, if you will, of the collective insanity. We're seeing what appears to be infighting in the power structure, which we would expect as the walls start to close in, just like mafia families start to fight when there's not enough to go around. So this is all in our favor. The sooner the power structure begins to fray apart, the better. But they also become extremely dangerous as this fraying apart occurs, because it's the wounded tiger syndrome. I mean, who knows what they're capable of.
Absolutely. Dane, yeah. I've got another caller also, SJ from British Columbia, the one I was speaking of. Sorry, I didn't accept your call, SJ. I declined it and then brought you in because Skype has been messing everyone up. But welcome to the show, SJ.
Well, thank you for having Dane on. I've been following him and his rents interviews. Extremely good information. Wonderful point of view, Dane. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley.
One of the things that I'm doing is, you notice whenever we start talking, we get cut off. So if this gets interesting, you can expect the problems with Skype here. I sort of figured that's...
It's par for the course these days, but, you know, again, I hope those people are listening because they need to hear this and understand that we are not their enemy.
Oh, well, I know they're listening, Dane. I've been told I've got like 3,000 non-seeable entities that listen to every show of mine.
I've got the software on now, Stephen.
Yeah.
2,286 agencies listening to us at this moment.
Exactly.
Well, I try to keep it entertaining. Could you imagine, you know, what some of those guys have to go through with their designated listening time, some of the conversations they have to listen to? At least we're fairly interesting. We're talking about current events, you know. We're coming up with new ways of looking at science and evidence.
And we're being attacked.
Affirmative action. You know, we're pretty radical. We're not talking about going out and killing people. That would repeat the cycle. We've got to break into a new cycle. I figure that's the challenge of the 21st century, is to learn how to think our way out of this problem, because most of it is based on people with really bad ways of thinking. It's that simple.
It is, and I try to make clear in all my disseminations that we need the U.S. military, we need our brothers and sisters in the military on our side. We need them on the side of sanity, and we need them to realize that they're being used for pawns against their own population, against their own countrymen. It's exactly the case. So, you know, again, we peacefully need to continue to put the data out there, and And I think there are, I know there are people within the ranks waking up. I absolutely know there are. I've heard from some. And just had a conversation a week ago with a government employee that's connected with a high-ranking Air Force colonel. And I trust this person. I know they're on the level. And they were told that all the Air Force pilots know these programs are going on. Of course, we would expect they would know. How could they not know? But to hear confirmation was helpful, and now this person has taken, I've supplied a mountain of materials, our color glossy flyers, informational flyers, two-sided pieces of material, DVD, commercial DVDs. I mean, a lot of activist materials have gone to this person that's now going to the airbase. Same thing with California EPA, same thing with Fish and Game. We've supplied loads of materials to these groups. And they're being circulated within these organizations from people on the inside. So, again, our only chance is to expose these programs from the inside out so that those participating, their families, all know what this is all about, what it's really about. Total control, total power over the populations, at the cost of killing all life on Earth. That's where we're headed if these programs aren't brought to light to a halt.
Absolutely is. I think we also need to get, we also need to educate people how to, break the, control mechanism of the media. I try myself, but, it's quite hard to teach somebody that doesn't really know what, rhetoric is and what it means and what the effects are.
I would like to say something, Stephen, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead, Kyler.
I think we need to break this down also. As you all know, some of you know, I'm getting my minor in quantum physics, my major in sociology, and I'm a former EMT, ACLS paramedic. I think we need to break this down also to quantum physics and what we're finding now in quantum physics and mathematics and calculus and trigonometry and geometry. And we've pretty much reached our peak in the mathematical quandra. And we are finding out some very interesting things about pre-singularity, post-singularity, singularity consciousness, neurology, et cetera, et cetera, electrochemical matrix, and how this whole consciousness thing works. So I think we need to take this to the realm of science and look at what the New World Order is looking at, or the rulers of this new global paradigm are looking at. They're not looking at this from a spiritual paradigm whatsoever. They're looking at this from a scientific paradigm and the fact that when we die, we die, and that's it. They're not looking at a post-apocalyptic, or they're not looking at a heavenly, holy type of thing, and they're not looking at God as man has created God. So I think that the conversation should change just a little bit. We all assume and act as if we have the answers. Or if we against them, we're better than them, we're smarter than them, they're doing bad, we're doing good. I think we need to change the conversation and realize and look at this on a more scientific basis.
We do, and the term, in regard to scientific, you know, the term is very ambiguous and relevant at this point when we have quote-unquote scientists telling us that, or hiding us from the fact that things are as bad as they are. You know, we have climate scientists like the IPCC, for example, the largest scientific panel, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, largest scientific panel created on any subject in human history. Here we have a group of scientists that we rely on as experts that all of their modeling, all of it, doesn't contain any factor regarding feedback mechanisms. None. So how is that possible? How is it
no
possible?
Feedback. No feedback loops whatsoever. I'm with you 100%, Dane.
None. Which virtually negates all their modeling. It's completely worthless. So now,
yes.
Again, as the curtain gets pulled back, as we're heading toward right now, the probability of an ice-free Arctic in the summer, either this year or next, and people are still bamboozled by all the headlines they saw because they want to believe this. They want to believe the planet is not warming. And even those in the anti-climate engineering movement want to believe that the only problem with the climate is climate engineering. If we stop this, everything will just be fine and dandy again. It's not the case. Permanent damage has been done from a lot of sources. So the bottom line is, when they saw these headlines last fall that the ice had expanded 50%, complete lie, absolute lie, the way they got that headline was the surface area, which is the ice extent, they were showing us a 50% increase from 2012. 2012, the ice was almost gone. 50% over not much is still
yes.
not much.
Yes.
So, and they were counting slush, basically slush, as ice pack. Slush is not an ice pack. So at the same time they put that headline out, the ice mass was 19% of the 30-year normal, all-time record low. Even the ice extent right now, as of about a week ago, is at all-time record low again. It's crashing, and the volume, which is all that matters, is crashing. So if we have an ice free Arctic this year or next, which is highly likely, by next year, then a lot of explaining has to be done.
Well, Dane, a lot of this, Dane, has to do with the corporations controlling science and the science papers that are coming out. And the reductionist Newtonian science we've gotten through, at least some scientists have gotten through the reductionist paradigm. Now we're moving into the ontological, and we've always had the epistemological science going on. But I think we're beyond all of that. I think we need to get beyond epistemological, ontological, and reductionist science and really take a look at this thing with what's called common sense.
Which is not too common.
Which is not too common. No, it's not. We're either looking at this ontologically, epistemologically, or from the old Newtonian science, and, you know, reductionist scientism is not working anymore. It's not the parts are not the sum of the whole. I mean, it's far beyond this. And I think common sense is a word that people don't want to hear anymore, not even scientists. They don't even believe in common sense. And Dane, you're so wonderful in bringing out this from a common sense standpoint.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dane.
No, I'd rather you go first, Steve.
Well, I was just thinking. You know, it's just science. We know that a condensation trail lasts between, I think, 15 and 30 seconds up there in the air, depending on how high the airplane is up in the air.
If you see it at all, yeah. And that's,
if you
that's,
see it
that's
at all,
correct.
Exactly.
15 to 30 is perhaps about right. Almost transparent. The space between the back of the jet and the trail, as the air is cooling down, and again, with a high bypass turbofan jet engine, we should only see that under the most extreme conditions. High humidity, low temperatures, a combination which rarely exists. The rest of what we're seeing, even the short, bright trails,
last for
1 or 2 minutes that people mistake for condensation, it's not condensation.
Yeah, I mean, these things can stay up in the air for hours and hours and hours on end.
They can, but even the short, like, for example, in recent weeks over California and some of Oregon and Washington, people have been mistakenly thinking that they're not spraying because they see the short, bright trails. They don't see the horizon-to-horizon spraying, and a lot of people in the anti-geoengineering movement have convinced themselves that that's all geoengineering is when they see horizon-to-horizon trails. That's the tip of the iceberg. So we see the short, bright trails being sprayed. The sky becomes ever more silvery white, and we see, and this is of note, when they spray these short or bright trails, and the sky becomes silvery white, we actually see UV readings go up higher than a clear day. Why is that? Are they trying to create a lens effect? It seems they are, because there's significant UV increases on these days. Why would they create a lens effect? Why would they try to create heat? If they're trying to create a strengthened high-pressure zone in order to more effectively steer the jet stream, because that spins clockwise in the northern hemisphere, that could be a reason why.
All right, Dane. Yeah, we're on a break here. We got about 7 minutes here until we come back at the beginning of the hour, so we'll be right back, everyone. And welcome back from the break here, everyone. This is Sunday afternoon's Cancel the Cabal on Revolution Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts. I have, do I still have Dane Wigginton here?
Still got me, Steve.
All right. Do I still have you, Kyler Davenport?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
And SJ from British Columbia.
Oh, good. Could be with SK in here, too.
Well,
you know, it's quite a circus of insanity we find ourselves in.
Yes.
Guys, it really is from every direction.
Yeah, I wanted to say something before we get back into it. Two things, actually. One is, as the last commercial said, we are listener-supported, so please go hit that donate button and to keep these studios going.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say with Stephen, man, I've offered $100 donation for 100 emails saying how much they like the show out of our 700,000 that are listening today. If we can just get 100 emails to Stephen, I will donate $100 to Revolution Radio.
Well, they would have to know what my email is first. I guess I could give that out a little bit later, but anyways.
I'll give mine. If they'll give me 100, I'll send 100 to Revolution Radio.
Okay.
dkyler2010@gmail.com. That's D as in dog, Kyler, K-I-L-E-R, 2010@gmail.com. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yes, but anyways, I wanted to also invite any caller to call in, but there's a either a glitch or Skype and Microsoft have changed their algorithm or something, but I haven't been able to accept any calls in a couple of weeks now. So if somebody would like to call in, please do. I'm going to just decline the call, but then I will bring you back in. So don't be offended if I hang up on you first. So let's get back into this, Dane.
This, you know, as we were alluding to before the break, the aspects of this that can't be hidden much longer. You know, it, for those in the activist community that get discouraged, and I get a lot of messages from people that are even their own family members completely in denial, trying to discourage them from speaking out. I would encourage those people not to stop. Again, as the saying says, to thine own self be true. Don't ignore your calling of conscience and know that you are the sane ones. You are the ones that are awake, that are rational, and those around you are behaving in a sort of psychological self-defense mannerism according to their training. But what's different about this time and this issue, as we were talking before the break, the Arctic ice implosion that will force a lot of issues to the surface. Once, again, that's 100 years ahead of some of the IPCC modeling. And at that point, it will be clear to people that they've been horrifically lied to. And I think this will help expose a lot of things, from 9/11 to other issues. So for those that are discouraged as they try to pass on information about climate engineering, obviously do it in the most effective scientific way you can. Use the right terms and know a little bit about the issue and try to pass on credible data. But that being said, as long as you're doing it that way, I hope people are not discouraged and know that those around them who are tenaciously staying in their denial will have to wake up soon. They won't have a choice. What's folding around us right now is unlike any other time in Earth's history, or human history, both. And there will be no ignoring this for much longer. In fact, if we relate the rate of which the Earth is warming right now and the species extinction rate are exponentially faster than at any point in time in Earth's 4.5 billion year history, with the exception of meteor impact. Nothing like this has happened before, ever. It's uncharted territory, and it's unfolding by the day. So, and we were talking about also before the break, you know, the IPCC and the fact that their modeling is all by design completely wrong. The goal is to keep the herd calm, to keep the populations calm so they don't panic. And the lack of moral fortitude in the scientific community right now is totally astounding. But again, their effort to hide the magnitude of what's unfolding is simply going to fail soon because it's too horrific. The fish die-offs, you guys have all seen the fish die-offs around the globe?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Them here in the Northwest, we've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of fish.
And the horses and the cows.
Coming up on the shore now.
Birds.
Speak, right now.
Yeah, everything's dying, as Steve was saying. Everything is. The species extinction rate, I say this a lot, but it's important to repeat. We're losing 200 plus species of plant and animal to extinction every single day. On the fish die-offs, again, same thing. Authorities pretending that they don't know what's happening. No explanation, no clue. This is nonsense. I mean, they're either still stuck in kindergarten or they're lying. So,
let me bring up one thing that I want to get your opinion on. We've had 6,000 years of indoctrination and programming into this, this new culture, this new world here in 2014. We've got our public schools out there teaching all of these ridiculous things and old history that's twisted and perverted and misapplied, and we've got so many clueless people here in America that are just trying to make a living and trying to buy their new car or their used car or their boat or their jet skis or just trying to hang on and pay their electric and gas and water bill. Don't you think we should be speaking to that issue here on the show tonight as far as why are Americans so clueless and we can't blame it all on the chlorine and the fluoride and the toxins and chemicals falling from chemtrails or the land or what the caller
earlier said? I think that's fear.
Can't we bring that up? What is your take on that as far as people are comfortable here in America? They're comfortable. They're living in their safe zone. And they're not really concerned with why we're dying or why we need to protect this particular environment for our children and our grandchildren. They're just dumb as a box of frickin' rocks. Can you address that, please?
I think everything you said, you could not be more on target. You're exactly on target, Kyler. And here's, if we take even issues like 9/11, based on the same theme, you just mentioned, how can they possibly ignore what they see as buildings clearly being demoed, like Building 7, clearly being demoed? I mean, you can't, anybody who thinks that a building like that can come down because of some chairs and couches burning on the first floor, they need to have a serious reality check, but it comes down to what you just said. They're comfortable. They don't want to rock the boat. They want the party. they want the party to keep going, and so when it comes right down to it, Steve got a phone ringing. I don't know if you
yeah,
can hear that.
Yeah. Okay. I was just bringing a caller in. Hi, caller.
Oh, okay, okay. To finish that point, though, Kyler, when it comes right down to it, whether they're spraying in the skies, whether aquatic life, terrestrial life is coming up dead all over the globe,
yes.
Ultimately, if they can still flick the football game on, grab a six-pack of beer, park on the couch, you know, maybe go out and get some Big Macs.
Dane,
it's what we have, yes.
Dane, hi, caller. Yes. Hang on a second,
hello?
Caller. Hi, caller. Hang on a second.
Okay.
I think people have still got the mentality that they're not being affected, so they really don't have to do anything about it.
Exactly. That's where they're wrong, though. And you're right. You guys are right that they think that they're not being affected, but that's getting harder and harder to hide. For example, in Redding, California, Northern California, where, you know, recreation, the forest, and so forth, that's what makes this economy exist here. Forests are dying by the day. The lake's about empty. The streams are dry a lot of the aquatic insect life. Again, we know there's a 90% decline, so people aren't catching fish. The economy's going downhill. Trees all over Redding, which was known for its trees, are dead and dying. At a certain point in time, the glaring implosion of our reality is so horrific. And now that the harvests are going to tank completely in California, I mean, they're ripping out orchards in some of the most fertile ground in California because they're dead. There's no water.
Yeah, absolutely.
Caller. Chickens are home to roost.
Caller, do you have a question for Dane?
Go ahead, caller. I'm sorry.
Do you have a question for Dane, caller, or a comment?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
This is Alyssa again calling in, Killer Davenport and Steven.
Yes.
Please, Kyler, not Killer. Only my friends in Pakistan call me Killer.
Okay. Your name is Tyler or Kyler?
No, Kyler, sweetheart. Tyler, K-I-L-E-R.
Kyler. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I have never known of you until this moment. I was calling this number to contact Lorian Fenton, but that was Super Soldiers in another, you know, time. So what I was saying about the chemical exposure poisoning syndrome going on with the contaminated chemicals from the ground and
yes.
crystal methamphetamine cookeries left standing and
yes.
this all over the place where they are, plus other things, because there are Agent Orange. People have the same wounds, and the soldiers coming back from the chemical exposure poisoning syndrome
yes.
of the war
yes.
where they're fighting with chemicals. So just the whole thing of the planet, the use and overuse and abuse of chemicals on the ground, not just the chemtrails, and that causing things to go
Let me stop you here, and then we'll give it back to Dane, because this is Stephen's show, and I'm a big mouth, and Stephen's
okay.
the only one that knows how to control me. I agree with you 100%, and I think what you're talking about right now is so, so wonderful and so intelligent and so deep. I think people need to start looking at all of these chemicals and toxins combined, including our food, our water, our agricultural runoff, our herbicides and insecticides, Monsanto, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem is people are so stupid. And, you know, forgive me, Stephen knows that I'm just outspoken as hell. People are so stupid and so clueless and so backward and sheeple people, passive, massive, et cetera, et cetera. It's real. The zombie syndrome is real. And I love those people out there who are dumb as a box of rocks. I love them. I respect them. I hold them. I care for them. I understand them. But we've got to wake them up. We've got to wake them up somehow. People like Dane and Stephen doing these powerful shows, I hope people will listen, and I hope they'll take it to heart. And I really hope from the bottom of my heart that they'll start reaching out physically and trying to make a difference in the community by educating people and studying themselves and seeing what Dane's saying, see what Stephen's saying, see what I'm saying on my network, and start to really fight. You know, I told a friend of mine yesterday, I said, if you've got a lot of friends on Facebook, you're a nobody, you're a zombie, you're a dumbass. You've got to reach out, you've got to fight, and you've got to get some really nasty responses, and then you'll know that you're waking people up. And that's only, you know, you can't have a lot of friends. You can't have a lot of friends. Friends are not going to agree with you. They're going to want to keep you in that same old dirty, dumb spot. And the once you rise above them, and the moment you start telling them things that have wisdom for our future, our children, you're going to be hated by everyone. And that's what's going on today.
You know, I laughed at that a little bit, Kyler, because what just hit my desk right now, someone just sent it to me. This is a full-page article. It's a second part from the Akron Beacon Journal. It's a major newspaper in Ohio.
Yes, sir.
The editor launching an all-out attack against me, against my site, and it's anybody who believes this is going on, that we're all drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, it's a very, very vindictive personal attack against me. And that's fine. And I could, bottom line is he's helping to expose the issue. But, he's careful not to really use the term geoengineering. And such, editors are careful to use the term chemtrails because they know that helps to marginalize an otherwise legitimate subject. And, we'll post this. And this guy's, got this under his saddle because when he posted his first part trying to marginalize the issue.
Yes.
I tried to contact him and offer to answer any questions he had, which he didn't want. His only reply was trying to make some insinuation that we're making money selling DVDs. For the few people that donate, we mail out four commercials.
Yes, guys like you and Steven.
I've only spent money on this issue. And for the you know, we mail out four commercial DVDs and 30 color glossy flyers priority mail for a small donation, and we give away about three of those packages for every one that we get a donation for. So we're highly in the red. But anyway, we featured him on our disinformation directory. People might remember that website. It's called disinformationdirectory.com.
Yes.
The purpose of this site is to feature people like this and let them know we know who they are, and we are publicizing their attempts to hide this crime from the public, and so that once it's exposed, they'll be responsible for their part in this.
And so,
clearly they don't like that kind of exposure. He's obviously jumped in and is now digging himself a deeper hole, which we'll capitalize on again. And, but
how much money is he making, Dane? How much money is he making, Dane?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my point, Dane.
I hope it's more than I'm making because, you know, I've literally spent all my SEP account, all my retirement accounts, and I do have a few people helping to pay for flyers now, or I couldn't mail them out. I mean,
Steven,
I mailed out 100,000.
Steven knows that I'm living on disability up here on this mountain trying to get information out. Steven's living poor and sick.
I'm on disability myself, yes.
Steven's just worn out trying to get this information out.
Well, they have 47% or whatever Mitt Romney said on disability, and so a percentage of that are targeted individuals that they have come against us because they want the masses dead and gone. They have selected who are the ones to stay living on the planet, actually. They have targeted bloodlines and stuff like that.
I agree.
My court cases I'm trying to do right now, too.
You have to understand, caller, that what you're saying is you're wearing a triple tinfoil hat like myself. I went out and covered myself.
No, I'm not.
No, Kyler.
Kyler, caller. Kyler.
I didn't mean you. I meant they think that about us. That's okay.
Certainly.
Okay.
But you know, the big point that Dane was just getting to a minute ago is they don't have an argument. All they have is an attack.
That's it, Stephen. That's it.
It's, you know, and it, what we face right now, again, the reason we're trying so hard to document those in the media, for example, or meteorologists or other quote-unquote professionals who are simply lying to hide this crime is so that there will be accountability. Once this is out in the open, which I think is going to be damn soon, again, you can't hide things like what's happening in the Arctic right now. If people look at what I posted several days ago, I mean, based on the best current math right now from the frontline scientists in the Arctic, we're looking at an extremely short time horizon for life on Earth if we stay on this path.
Yeah.
Extremely short.
Once
we have methane covering the planet right now as we speak. In fact, for the last million years, methane in the atmosphere has not been over 7 parts per billion.
Yeah.
Now, in the course of 1 year, we jumped more than that. We jumped 800-900 parts per billion in a year. So, again, the gravity of what's unfolding right now can't be overstated. There's enough methane, known methane deposits in the Arctic alone, to cause a Permian-type global mass extinction 100 times over. And that's a conservative estimate. So, again, the gravity of what we face cannot be overstated. Anybody who thinks that this isn't going on in the atmosphere is simply living in a closet or under a rock somewhere, or in total denial, or both. And so, I say the seeds we're all sowing matter. And if we continue to pass out, that's why we try to get people to pass on credible data. Copy an article, download the flyers. You can download them from our site for free. You have something to pass on. It works a lot better than just ranting. People, you rant at somebody, the defenses go up and they just, you know, tuck into their shell like a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but if we keep planting these seeds, they're going to sprout. They're not going to have a choice. People are not going to be able to ignore this. And those, as the caller mentioned, trying to sustain themselves in underground holes, and they are. They're called DUMs, deep underground military bases. They're being built right now. We know they're being built. We have photographs of it.
So do I.
So yeah, so we're trying to get that data out there. But the rub is, they're not going to be able to ride out what's coming if we stay on this track. No chance. No life on Earth. So we know even equilibrium periods for previous mass extinctions, the most recent 55 million years ago, the Bedham event, 10, 20 million year equilibrium periods, can't stay in a hole that long. I don't know how much Mountain House food they bought, freeze-dried food. It's not going to last that long. So, you know, they're going to go down with the ship with us. And I think that's starting to dawn on some of the psychopathic people at the top. And they are psychopathic. That's a clinical reality. They are psychopathic. And,
you know what, y'all? I took disability. I don't know what Steven's story is, but I took my basic poverty disability because I was at my psychiatrist's office trying to talk about all these things that we talk about on the air. And they said, you're delusional. We're writing you down as delusional. You have problems and you are going against the government. So we're writing you down as delusional.
And you know what, Kyler? And you know what, Kyler? Just here recently, it's also come out that, very, very soon they are going to be starting to label us people as psychotic or, delusional and.
Steven, they're already coming after them up here. I talked about it this morning.
Yeah.
I've got 7 cases on my desk right now. They're coming after veterans and putting them in mental hospitals for 30 days without a warrant. And they're coming after me eventually. Y'all will see me gone.
Just because we don't believe the official fairy tale.
It's called, dissociative. Delusional
disorder.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's in the official psychiatric manual now, and they're coming after us. And I'm very sad that this is happening. I'm so sad that I had to take disability because I have cancer and I have a lot of other problems going on. Steven knows about my disability. And I had to give up to disability because I couldn't get a job anywhere. They blackballed me because of my show, and I couldn't even get a job answering the phone anywhere. And I'll shut up there.
No, you're okay.
What's your show?
I have Alternative Public Radio International. I'll put it in chat here. Are you looking at chat on Stephen's show here?
No, I'm not. I'm just on the line. Revolution Radio, and number.
If you will just friend me, and then I'll shut up for a minute. If you will just friend me, Kyler Davenport, K-I-L-E-R, Davenport, D-A-V-E-N-P-O-R-T. I'll be glad to talk to you.
Well, what do you mean, friend you? I don't do Facebook and all of that garbage.
And just on Skype or friend Kyler. Stephen Roberts. Whatever.
I don't have Skype.
Kyler.
I don't have Skype. I called in to find Lorian Fenton for Super Soldiers.
Oh, cool. Go ahead, Stephen.
Is that on Studio B, Kyler, or Studio A? You're on Studio A, Skype.
Who?
Yeah, you better go to Studio B, caller.
But anyways. You can see her number right there, right, Kyler? You can grab her number and call her and talk to her.
Yes, thank you.
Stephen, I don't know if you're near a computer. I just emailed you something that was just published in the the Akron Beacon Journal.
Akron Beacon, yeah.
Yeah, but this is, you know, the sort of thing, the very aggressive, tenacious response from people like this editor, you know, accusing me of profiteering off this, which couldn't be further from the truth. And, of course, he left out, and he refers into this that, like I'm making some big bonanza off of a small donation to mail out DVDs. And my email to him, I made clear that we mail out about 4 packages to activists for free for everyone we might get a donation on that barely covers the cost of that one. So, but they leave that sort of thing out, and the very aggressive nature with which he goes about this, accusing anybody who believes in this of being tinfoil hat, Kool-Aid drinking nutcases, it shows a deep-seated fear in this kind of people that they somehow have to lash out, and I think they're so internally paranoid at this being a reality that they have to try to somehow alter that reality by convincing others it's not so. And whatever their reason, this kind of documentation on this is helpful for us because this guy's digging an ever deeper hole for himself. We'll publicize on this again. In fact, this will get posted everywhere that he put this out. And I think his email is going to be rung off the hook from people who want him to explain his denial. And I think the blowback for people like this is just beginning. And People like this tend to keep digging holes. They're so ideologically oriented, they just can't accept this is going on. They won't do a stitch of research. They simply lash out based on their programming, and they can't break that programming.
Exactly. They just can't. Exactly. So, say, caller, I've got a little information for you I was just given. Lauren Fenton is on Mondays at 8 p.m., not Sundays. Caller? Oh, well, okay. Not sure what happened to her. But, anyways, yeah, I just want to get to the simple-mindedness of these people. Do they really think, calling you a name or poking fun at you or laughing at you and calling you name is really going to stop us? If they do, they are really more simple-minded than I really thought they were, Dane.
It's fanning the flames. I mean, if you see that piece I sent you, that will only dig him into a deeper hole, and we'll get actually a lot of mileage out of that. But these types of people do not like being spotlighted. It makes them angry. When I don't know if, Steve, you said you saw What in the World Are They Spraying?
I'm sorry? Say that again?
You saw the film What in the World Are They Spraying?
Yes. You said? Yes, I did.
If you saw the exchange I had with internationally recognized geoengineer David Keith in that film,
yes.
After that exchange where Keith knew that he horribly misstepped. He put his leg down his mouth with his answer that could horrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. What kind of a statement is that from a quote scientist? And
yeah.
He knew he was on film and on the record. He glared at me for 20 minutes in that conference after that. He was furious, absolutely furious.
I bet he was.
I had email exchanges with a nanoparticulate specialist, a bioscientist from Stanford University. She's a tenured professor there, highly credentialed, and she sent me the exchanges she had with David Keith 2 years after that exchange that I had with Keith, and Keith was still foaming at the mouth about it. Still, you know, in fact, he said in the emails that Dane doesn't play fair because I asked a question.
Yeah, Dane's not...
But that's how they think. That's how they think. And so, you know...
Yeah, we're people like me and Kyler, we're supposed to just stand there with our pencils and paper and write down what they say and then get on the radio and repeat what they say, and we're just not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they expect, I guess. But, you know, bottom line is, I mean, I'll do everything I can to expose this issue, period. And,
you know, the NSA came up on my hill the other day. Steven knows about this, and stared me down inside the studio through my window and wouldn't tell me why they were up here. And I didn't even know that I was on a private road. I thought that I was on a public road with the RV command center parked here. I thought I was on a public road, and I was really terrified that they were here and they could arrest me on this public road. And I found out later that I'm on a private road built by our builder here. I didn't know that I was on a private road. And they came up here and tried to scare me, and I went outside on my cane, and I walked up to their car, and I reached my hand in their window and hit their chest and made them shake my hand. And I said, "Why are y'all here?" And they're building an NSA tower here right outside the door, a microwave tower. And I said, "Why are y'all here? Why are you looking at me?" And they said, "Well, it's none of your business why we're looking at you. We're the police. You're not."
He lives in a camper up on a mountain in Oregon there, Dane.
Okay.
Six of them in three cars came and stared me down, just stared at me as hard as they possibly could. Because we're working on all these undercover investigations, and I'm a former investigator with the governor's office, and I have all these tapes hidden. And they want those tapes so damn bad, they've been trying to get them for the last 3 years, and I won't give them up, and they don't know where they are. But, you know, that's really sad that we have to go through this as investigators and talk show hosts and producers. It's really sad that they're after us.
It is, but, you know, this is where trying to reach people within law enforcement and so forth to make them understand what they're a part of, that
they're
being used as tools against their own people. In Northern California, at least, there's I think there's 8 major counties that are part of the Oath Keepers now,
the
Oath Keepers group. And so, and that group is getting onto the climate engineering as well. And that's another aspect of climate engineering that we really haven't discussed. I mean, yes, it's toxic. Yes, every breath we take is laden with these materials. Yes, it's poisoning the environment, tearing the atmosphere apart, disrupting the weather cycles. But also, that at any point in time, when the power structure chooses, if things are getting a little out of hand for them, they can alter the mix, and we're all done right then and there. The spray apparatus is already set up. They're doing it every day. If they choose to put a pathogen in the mix, it's game over for all of us.
You know, something just happened in chat I wanted to bring up. Somebody said Nighthawk is more likely to be targeted than you, Kyler. meaning the Nighthawk, which is the bureau chief for this network that we're on today. And I love Nighthawk to death, and I love Revolution Radio. But let me tell you something. I was so far into the New World Order and running around with Netanyahu, you know, living on the Gaza, living on Palestinian territory, living in Israel, working with the archaeologists there, and working with so many people around the world. I used to go out and spend $8,000 to $10,000 a night playing around with the New World Order. No, I don't think they're after Hawk. You know, they're after me, and I am a major target of these people because my family member was one of the Secret Service with JF Kennedy in the assassination. I was there in the car. I was a small child, and I've been there through all of that, and Lyndon Baines Johnson and so forth and so on. So, no, they're not after Hawk more than they are me. I want to make that perfectly clear today. They're after me because I've been so far deep undercover with the New World Order for the last 20 years. Thank you.
Well, yeah, with that kind of history, you know, it seems those that were once on the inside, it seems to me from what I've seen, are more at a greater risk than those on the outside that have never been on the inside, and I certainly have never been. I hope to believe this. It seems to be the case, but there seems to be some sort of protocol that once you've been on the inside, they deal with you more harshly. And I don't know this to be the case.
Maybe yes, can, that's very true. No, Dane, that's very true. Very true.
So I communicated with Jim Darrow recently. He's a former CIA 45-year vet, and he's hiding out in Canada right now. He's got a team of lawyers to tell him what he can say, what he can't say. And,
yeah.
You know, he's been out as well. I'm close to interviewing him. I'm just trying to compile a little more data, but he was sent to do what he called mop-up on a spray plane that skidded off the runway on an airport that's on indigenous land in Canada. It's a huge issue, and I need to have enough data to really run with on that, but he's trying to tell me what he can, and you know, certainly the amount of...
Yeah, go ahead, Dane. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just think the amount of air traffic, the amount of personnel involved, the amount of incidents that has to be occurring, given the scope and scale of what's going on in our skies, is immense, and there has to be other incidents like this one that Jim is trying to inform me about. But, you know, the system is breaking down. People are beginning to speak out. And as they see the ship sinking, I think there'll be a lot more people that find a shred of courage when they realize.
Certainly there is. I was just trying to pick the right time to get in there. I'm not sure when the pause has come, but, Billy Hayes, one of the listeners and one of the other people I've had on like four or five times now, he was one of these people that Kyler and you are referring to on the inside with the CIA and the military intelligence. And he was one that I was referring to about helping build the HARP facilities. And he lost his wife and two other direct relatives. He lost three within 2 months by murder. Not too long ago, just within the last few years here, and he's a targeted individual himself, and he's got a brain tumor, probably the size of a golf ball or bigger, but that's supposedly inoperable.
And I didn't know Billy had that. I like Billy.
Oh, okay, so you know Billy Hayes then?
I know Billy, yeah. Yeah. I haven't had the chance to converse with him much, but I like him. I didn't really realize all those facts. My heart goes out to him, and this is, you know, the degree of, there's no better word for it. I mean, the degree of evil that's exploded in human society is a cancer that's so immense, it's hard to get one's arms around it. And even much of that cancer is just cancer cells, if you will, that are just doing their part, even if they're not an active part of the orchestration, they're a part of the cancer because they're doing things that are clearly wrong, lying to themselves, to the rest of us, to the public, because that's their job. I stood in the forest here about 3 months ago with congressional reps and USDA officials staring at a hillside full of stone dead trees. And I asked the USDA forester scientist, did he see any forest decline there? And he looked, turned to all of us and said, no, I don't see any decline. At which point I walked away.
You didn't smack him in the...
How do you deal with that?
You don't deal
with someone who calls day night, night day.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't just smack him in the face or anything like that, did you? Or think about it anyways?
It's what they deserve, you know, and it's the other official that I mentioned earlier that I, in the show that I saw 2 weeks ago again, and he didn't have the courage to even look me in the eye. You know, they don't have any honor. None left. They've sold it all. And I, no matter what happens, you know, that's our honor is what each of us
it is
trusted with to protect. It's all we own.
It is.
It's all that truly belongs to us, and so many have so easily sold theirs.
It is. At the end of the day, that's all we have is our honor and our word.
Yes, yes. And it seems to have not meant much to many people, but again, a grand awakening is occurring at this time, and I think we're close to some really big breakthroughs. And when I have, as I mentioned earlier in the show, people like the CEO from this global environmental consulting firm willing to sacrifice his job, his employment, he doesn't care anymore, he understands the gravity of this, I think others are going to come with him. You know, all we need is a big enough break in the dam, and this guy could do it on his own, in order to start a flow that can't be shut off, that can't be sandbagged. And I think we're close to that from multiple directions. And once that starts, there'll be no stopping it. So many people know this is going on. So many people want to speak out. Even people within academia, they want to speak out. They just simply...
They're too afraid.
They don't have the cover yet. But it's coming. It's coming. Getting closer by the day.
Yeah.
I think what a lot of people need to accept psychologically, there's a lot of people that, especially in the environmental movement, I can't help myself but slam them every time I can, because nobody cares about the environment more than me. I mean, I've bled, sweat, and cried in the forest for years trying to restore it from irresponsible logging, and I've dedicated, you know, this all my land to habitat preserve. It only costs to try to keep that. And so, I mean, I certainly am an environmentalist, but the quote-unquote environmental groups, they're astoundingly in denial. Unbelievable.
Hey, Dane.
Yep.
Dane, what is your opinion on the latest findings in quantum physics as far as duality and all of the things we're finding on consciousness and electrochemical processing in the brain and so forth, and post-pre-singularity, that we are just a simulation and we are an expression of God or Source, he, she, it, or whatever, and that we are not living in a place where holiness is real or religion is real or we against them or they against us, etc. We have no individuality. Our collective is just a random happenstance. What is your opinion on the latest findings in quantum physics as far as we are just a simulation and there is no right, wrong, or morality or principle or reason or logic?
And you know,
these are the latest findings. So what is your opinion on that?
Before you get into that, Dane, there, you'll, Dane, maybe you know, and Kyler, you probably know too, but there has to be a reason why humans only use 10% of our brain.
Where, yes, very good point.
In
very
the past, why make a brain the size that there is if we only use 10% of it?
Right, or 5%, depending on the
right.
study.
Exactly.
But I really, really am interested. I love Stephen to death, and what his comment was just now is fantastic. But I really want to get your opinion, and I am getting my minor in quantum physics, and I have studied for over 13 years in quantum physics. What is your opinion on our new findings?
Haven't seen the latest data. Certainly you're ahead of me in that regard. Any study I have in that arena is a side study compared to my constant immersion in climate engineering. I would say this, that then if there's any reason to be here, and I realize between string theory and other aspects of quantum physics, science is stranger than fiction, but if there's any reason to be here, and whether there's that sort of creative force there or not, either way, there has to be meaning. For me, there must
yes.
be meaning.
Yes.
In protecting one's sense of virtue, one's sense of
but
commitment.
Let me stop you there. Let me stop you there. Very important point to be made here today on the show. The so-called adversaries out there, the ones that we do not agree with, are having the
right.
same thought that you are, that we're just trying to make a point. We're just doing what we want to do. We have our paradigm. We have our perspective. We have our experience based on past experience, and we also have our technology, and we also have our advanced mathematics and quantum physics. They're not necessarily negating something spiritual or something metaphysical, but they are simply running on this mechanical paradigm of science. And therefore, there would be no morality, no reason, no logic. So if you took that to heart, wouldn't you see that everyone has a perspective and everyone is right in their own way, and this leaves us to chaos to express this source, this pre-singularity, as an expression of the source?
I'm familiar with those lines of thought. I'm simply not in agreement with it. But I can't explain why, from a very young age, I was wired differently. Others were wired differently. I suspect you, Carla, were wired differently. I mean this in a positive sense, that other wiring has caused me a lot of pain throughout my life because I couldn't look past injustices. I couldn't. My earliest memories are from I was 4 years old, the busboy, retarded busboy dropping dishes in the entire room full
me
of
too.
Adults.
Me too.
Laughing
me
at
too.
Him.
I'm the same way.
That's the part that's hard to explain. And I felt this profound sense of cruelty and injustice. Yes. And seeing these adults laugh at this man. And I couldn't explain why I felt that. It certainly wasn't from my parents. They were not benevolent at all. But I was wired differently and I think whatever's out there, whatever may be out there, and I don't claim to know, that I never was able to ignore this wiring that was within me. I couldn't until finally, you lose sight of it sometimes when you're not faced with certain challenges, but then it comes back, and for the last decade and a half, I mean, I've dropped every other aspect of my life to fully embrace, this challenge that I believe, needed to be met and fought and addressed
well,
and attacked.
So
I can't explain.
Dane, if you talk to the New World Order and you actually interview some of these folks that Stephen and I have talked to and people that have been with them and I've been with them, you will see that they have no paradigm or no personal perspective of spirituality or mysticism or any of these other things that the New Age groups espouse to. So therefore, if they are living and breathing and working on that paradigm, where everything is just mechanical and we are a glob of goo that came from a pre-singularity, post-singularity existence, wouldn't you expect them to go ahead and do what they're doing today if they didn't have any sense of hell or heaven or good or bad or holiness, etc.?
Yes, and okay. It's because of that, as you so accurately outlined earlier in the show, that when it comes right down to it, and let's use 9/11 for an example again.
Yes, sir.
When it comes right down to it, the American population is okay with 9/11 happening if that's what it takes to keep their party going. Ultimately, if they were to tell the truth, most Americans are probably okay with that. If that's what it takes to keep their gas tank full, you know, their refrigerator stocked with beer, and the power structure knowing that most Americans are sadly
and their bank accounts okay full too.
Yes,
so therefore they justify 9/11.
Certainly
their mind
they
is
do.
For the greater
good. Can I ask
good.
You something?
Go ahead, please.
There was a woman I heard predicting in her writings an extinction event. Now, if what you're talking about, I would say it like this.
Elena Freeland
might
have been
her. My spirituality and frame of reference is what it is. Spiritual and metaphysical, but that there are these lines and we're down here, you know, on earth and there is something metaphysical, invisible, unseen, like string theory, you know?
Yes.
All
yes.
around me in this room, there are universes of being existent.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
You're
and
talking about
there
infinity
can be,
theorem. Infinity theorem. Go ahead.
Okay. There can be at times portals or whatever we call where these invisible beings or shadow beings or movement or whatever it is. And some of us who are different, like, I don't know the name of the man that said from birth he was different. We're wired different because we, for this time, have been born. This is a purpose. All of us, whether it's David Icke or whomever all, because we are the way we are and who we are and how we are, there is coming something that is going to happen. I mean, I know it's the being
God.
I call God,
God
that
God.
I know has personally manifested and revealed himself to me in
I've got
instances.
To jump. Oh, my God, I've got to jump in here. Can I? Please, please.
Yes.
Current quantum physics says that we are nothing but mush.
Energy.
Quantum physics, energy, frequency, you know, it's, and look, the mathematics, and I don't expect all of you all to understand this. Some of you will, some of you won't. But the current quantum physics, the current science says that this, we are a expression or an expression of the source. We don't know what the source is. We don't know what its origin or etiology is.
We don't know where the vibration's coming from either, yes.
We are simply an expression of that. It doesn't matter whether you're cutting your mother's head off or molesting your child or going to a porno movie or gambling or burning down houses. Doesn't matter what you are. We are simply an expression of energy and frequency, and that's it. We don't know if we come back. We don't know if we're reincarnated. God is dead, as Nietzsche said, and several others, and we are a mechanical simulation. And I'm to the point in quantum physics where I can see exactly where they're coming from, looking at particles, looking at neurons, photons, looking at quarks, looking at the super collider. I can see exactly where they're coming from. We are simply a conglomeration of manifestation of post-singularity, and that's it. All of these other issues are rather mute and stupid and ignorant.
But how many scientists, though, Kyler, after a long career in academia, have actually grown to a point of spirituality from being agnostic because of everything you've just outlined?
No, they haven't. No.
I don't have any particular spiritual beliefs. I don't.
I'm getting my PhD in both sociology and quantum physics, which are really at odds with each other completely. And I can tell you right now that the New World Order, as Stephen and I speak of often, they have already found these things. They have already gone way beyond.
Is that any less miraculous? Is it any less miraculous? It's not to me. I mean, I have no religious denomination at all. None. I have no particular spiritual beliefs. I'm not speaking from any point of bias. I don't claim to know what's out there. I can't know.
All I'm saying is morality doesn't work in the quantum equation. Morality
does
not.
Why doesn't morality?
Let me say this, then I'll shut up. That's your personal perspective based on your limited capabilities and your limited experience within this particular realm of fourth dimensional space.
All right, Kyler.
So you're saying your position is right?
No, sir, not at all.
Okay.
Sir.
Okay, because when we take the Big Bang, let's take the Big Bang. Does that fit any of the laws of physics? No, none. It's just simply there's no other explanation. So, I mean, how often do we see science grabbing at straws because they don't have a clue?
Exactly.
They don't have a clue.
I just wanted to throw that in there. No, sir, you're right. No, sir, I agree with you 100%. I'm not going against you at all.
Okay,
Kyler. I've never had any enlightened experience of some sort of profound contact. I've never had anything like that happen in my life.
Morality
simply
hasn't worked so far.
No, it hasn't. And the scientific community, you know, again, are the sort of conditioning in our society about listening to the quote-unquote experts that have propelled us all off the edge of the cliff.
The reason morality doesn't work is because we have a monetary system. We have a money-based economy. We don't barter for our trade anymore. Our own specific specialties anymore.
Yes, Stephen has said that so much, and I've learned so much from Stephen. We don't practice that anymore. We've practiced a new culture, a new methodology, a new paradigm. So we've gotten so far away from our individuality and our self-empowerment that we've given it all over.
But therefore, we're
losing our liberty and our freedom because of that. Yes.
Something I want to elaborate on, you said earlier that I fully agree with you on, too, when you correctly mentioned that all the things that society's blaming on different environmental aspects that's making them think less clearly and that this is
yes.
a result of their lack of moral behavior, I fully
yes.
agree that that's used as a crutch because although those things have certainly could only make the situation worse, I have to acknowledge that. But that being
right.
said, Stoic philosophy, some of my favorite literature from first century Rome, people behaved exactly the same way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Kyler?
So
genius.
You know,
Kyler?
Genius.
I'd like to, SJ was dropping in and out of there for a long time. I'd like to give him maybe about 30 seconds if he'd like to add a little something there.
I'm sorry.
SJ, would you like to add something?
Oh, I got tons of stuff I'd love to add.
Well,
I was hoping to have a slightly longer conversation about God and philosophy and quantum physics.
Yeah.
But I'll sort of sum it up. The way things are happening, we've got to learn to think in new ways. It's the challenge for the 21st century. We're going
Absolutely.
To have to approach thinking and living as a martial art, or at least that's one good way of putting
yes.
it.
Yes.
We're going to have to have more compassion, too.
You yes. bet. Compassion. One of the best ways to do that on a per-person basis is to encourage people to talk about not what they have that's different, not their differences, but what they have in common. And I'll leave it at that. Although I would like to talk about my concept of God sometime.
I wish you would right now.
But Dane.
To elaborate on something Essie just said, again, and back to that theme, I would argue that the most catalyzing event, in addition to being the greatest and most immediate threat short of nuclear catastrophe, the most catalyzing event is back to climate engineering. The fact that every single one of us, everyone we love, everything we love, is being systematically assaulted day in, day out, and that all of us are in that boat together. It erases lines in the sand. I've already seen this. I mean, I've communicated from groups of every spectrum on this subject. It pulls people together. It is such a catalyzing issue. It's an issue that the power structure is trying desperately to hide. They know it would unite the tribes. It will unite the tribes. If we can get this out in the open, it would cause a shockwave of unimaginable proportion around the globe if we could simply expose the issue. And people should use tools to do this. I want to mention before I forget, SkyderAlert.com. SkyderAlert, alert, all one word,
Steve,
dot com.
Can you write that down?
Yes.
That's an interactive app. The person who put it together is a good friend. He's put a lot into this cause, a lot of his personal resources. There's a film called Look Up that you can get off that app. It's narrated by William Baldwin. It's won about a dozen awards so far. Great intro tool, intro tool for the climate engineering. And again, we try to be a tool on Geoengineering Watch as well. So people should use the tools we have, engage in this fight. If we could bring this to light, it would drag so much more with it.
Chat,
so
could you spell that for me again, Dane?
SkyderAlert.com. SkyderAlert.com.
Okay.
Chat is going wild here, and I'd like to bring up something they're saying.
Well, so we've only got a minute left, Kyler. I want to thank.
All right. Well, I just want to say that Satan is not real. Hell is not real. Religion is not real. And we all need to get out of these childish, mythical, crazy mystery mysticisms and start dealing with reality and dealing with this on an adult basis. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
We just in the course of uniting the tribes, though, I think we allow people to march on their own journey at their own rate and not try to force them into changing their perspectives. If we can unite and march together, we will end up in the same place.
Absolutely. Yes. Dane Wigginton of geoengineeringwatch.org. I thank you for coming on. We will have to get you on again sometime soon.
Love you, Steven.
Love
you,
Dane. Thank you, Kyler.
Thank you, Kyler.
Thank you
all so much.
Okay, I won't be doing a third hour here today, so I've already messaged somebody. There's my music. My show is over. So I thank everybody for coming out on this Sunday afternoon on Revolution Radio. Thank you, everyone. I'll be back next week.